Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. That's pretty bad when I don't know my own name. Let's try that again. Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is December the 24th. It's Christmas Eve. You know, I could really edit that out, but I've decided not to. I want to let you see me as I am. Oh man, it's good to be with you today on this special day. You know, today we're going to bring Advent to a close, and I got some thoughts I want to share with you on that. I'm going to share a gospel reading focusing on the birth of our Lord, and maybe give you a few of my thoughts as we prepare to celebrate what for just about all of us is going to be a very different Christmas. Christmas 2020 is unlike any Christmas I have ever experienced before. Probably the same thing goes for you. You've heard me say this before, though. I really believe it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to focus more on Jesus and to really spend some time and concentrate on what he has done for each one of us, that he came into the world. He left heaven, he left the comforts of heaven to enter into our broken and uncomfortable world. Why? To lead us back to the Father, to build that bridge between us and the Father, which had been damaged, and it was up to him to do that. He essentially came into the world to die for our sins. And that's what, when we see that baby in the manger, we don't necessarily think of that. But that really should be somewhere in the back of our minds, that that's why he was here. He had a very specific mission. He came here to die for our sins and to have a personal relationship with us. Obviously, you don't come to earth and take on human flesh if you don't want to have a personal relationship with someone and to really become involved with their problems. I mean, that's really what the Lord did. So let's give him thanks today for that. And let's try to concentrate on him. I don't know how your Advent went. There's a good chance you're looking at it right now and saying it wasn't good. I want you to chill out a little bit, and we'll talk about that. And don't beat yourself up. Please don't beat yourself up if you tried. Remember I said at the beginning of Advent, or maybe you don't remember if you weren't listening at the time, I don't know. But I said, let's let the Holy Spirit be in charge of our Advent and do the best we can. I also said that ready or not, he's coming. December the 25th is when the Lord was born. And that's our end point. That's the end point to Advent. It's not the end point of the Christmas season. The Christmas season is just beginning. So we still got some time to focus on the fact that the Word became flesh. God willing, we're going to do that together. I'm going to be here with you. I reminded you all throughout the week. I'll say it again. There won't be a show tomorrow. But I plan to be back here on Monday with another episode of Following the Truth. Again, always God willing. If he wants me to be here, I'm going to be here for you. I thank you for all of your support. I thank you for walking this Advent journey with me. And I really would like to pray right now and get this thing started. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead me in what I should say to you. So why don't we do that? Without further ado, let's turn to our Father in heaven, who loves us so much that he sent his Son into the world to be our Savior and to lead us back to him. That couldn't have happened if that little baby wasn't born 2,000 years ago. Let's give him some praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you. You are such a good Father to us. You sent your Son into the world, even though it would involve suffering, even though it would involve humiliation. You love us that much that you and Jesus were willing to do that for us. Father, we're so grateful for all that you do. We thank you for creating us out of nothing. And as St. John tells us, all things were created through Jesus, through your word. So we're so grateful for the fact that we came about as part of your creative process. We are uniquely designed and put together cell by cell to match your specifications. We are not an accident. There is nothing about us that is accidental. And we're so thankful that you chose us to be alive at this particular point in time. It's a little challenging. It's actually a lot challenging. But you wanted us to be alive right now. We're grateful for that, Father. We know that you want us to enter into a deeper relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, that is entirely possible. So we're grateful for that. We do wish to respond to your offer. We want to become closer with you. We want to know you better. We want to appreciate what a great Father you are. We want to know how much you love us. We want to know how powerful you are and that you can handle any problem that we can ever present to you. We want to not be afraid. And the only way that's all going to be possible is if we realize three facts. Number one, you are all loving. You love us unconditionally. Number two, you are all powerful. There is nothing you can't do. And number three, you are with us. So as long as we keep those things in mind, we will not be afraid, Father. We ask you to help us to remember those three important facts. Help us to become more aware of your presence. Father, on this day, when we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, we lift up our intentions to you, Father. We ask you to grant them. Give us what we need. Help us grow closer to you throughout the rest of the days of our lives. Help us, Father, to put your will and doing your will above anything that we want. Help us to avoid any temptation, remain free from sin. And we just ask that you provide for all of our needs, both spiritual and material. Father, I ask you to pour out your Spirit on me today. Give me the words, give me the message, let me know what I'm supposed to say. And please open all of our minds, all of our hearts, through an increased outpouring of your Spirit, to be able to hear and respond to your words. Father God, we ask these things in the name of the birthday boy, Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, there we go. My name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. It's Christmas Eve. I hope wherever you are listening from, you are blessed with the Lord's peace this evening. I hope you're not feeling lonely. And if you are, I'm here for you. In addition to, you know, I'm here for you. I am always here for you. You can always send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. I want you to know that I pray for you every day. But in addition to me, I think my main job, my role, is to remind you that Jesus is here for you. And he wants to introduce you and have you grow closer to your Heavenly Father, who also happens to be his Heavenly Father. He wants to also increase the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and let the Spirit grant you peace, joy, and patience, and all those other fruits, and to transform you into the image of Jesus. That's what Jesus wants to have happen. He wants you to become him, and he doesn't want you to be lonely, because he's always here for you. So think about that today. I know it's challenging. This is a challenging year. I know there are many people. You know, I have a house full of people. My wife Eileen, my daughters Mary and Elizabeth, we all live together in a small house. And yet we have each other. I'm so blessed that I have a wonderful family. But we're feeling the loneliness. So I can only imagine, you might be living alone, how lonely you may feel. I'm going to pray that you don't feel lonely, and that you feel the Lord's presence, even if you're separated from your loved ones, or even if maybe you don't have any loved ones who are still alive. Understand that we believe in a life after death on earth. We believe in a life everlasting. We believe in heaven. We believe that we will be able to see our deceased relatives and friends one day again soon. You know, and I say soon because soon's a relative term. We all have a kind of an idea of the maximum amount of years we're going to spend in this life. But, you know, on Christmas Eve, I think of my mom and dad and all my aunts and uncles and people who have gone before me. And I have a good feeling that they're happy. And I really look forward to seeing them one day. And one of the things that I'm doing is getting a little nostalgic as the Christmas tree is lit here. And earlier Eileen was playing some Christmas music on her radio. And I think back to Christmases past when I was younger and the meals that my mom would cook and just that special feeling of security and warmth, even though you can't experience those, COVID or not COVID, many of the people from our Christmases past, they're no longer here, but you're going to have those memories. I know it's painful sometimes, but don't overlook those memories. God allowed you to have these experiences, and hopefully they were all pleasant. Maybe they weren't, but if they were, don't let them go. Thank God for them, that you had those good memories. And those memories, they can't be taken away from you. You know, the events can come and go, the people can come and go, but the memories can't. Those memories can live on in our minds. And let's do that today. Let's, if you're able to, you know, unless it becomes too painful for you, but I hope it doesn't. Just to try to be grateful for any past Christmas experiences that you had with family that were pleasant, that were joyful, where you did come together and share God's love. And this year, let's more than ever try our best. And I know I sound like a cheerleader, but I really do believe this, that this year we should try our best because a lot of the externals have been stripped away. And in so many cases, we have gone overboard with Christmas and lost sight of Jesus. This is the year to refocus on him and to let him bring his peace into your heart. See, COVID's not going to stop him from coming into your house. Even if you're alone and you can't see anybody, Jesus is with you. And he can bring you his peace. I feel it right now. I have felt it ever since my big conversion when I got to know him personally and I surrendered my life to him. I feel that peace now. And you know my story. I'm the worry guy. I'm the guy who's a worrier. I'm the guy in the emergency room with panic attacks. I'm the guy on medication for a while I was trying to get my anxiety under control. I'm the guy who worried about things from the time I was a small child. I was the guy who looked at life through a feeling of hopelessness. Everything seemed hopeless and dark to me. But I'm peaceful now. And I owe that all to Jesus, so you can feel that peace. I'm going to pray for you, not only that you don't feel lonely, that you feel the Lord's peace, that supernatural peace that St. Paul talks about in the fourth chapter of Philippians. That's that supernatural peace that can't come from anything on earth, that only comes from Jesus Christ, which can coexist, this peace that he offers, with even the most serious problems. So whatever you're facing today, you can still experience his peace. Just give him a chance. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, that's the prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I accept you as my personal Lord, as my Savior. My Lord and Savior, Jesus. You know, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord, you're the only guy who's volunteering for the job. Bring it on. You are my Savior. I invite you into my life. I invite you to be Lord over all areas of my life. And when you start doing that, you're going to feel that peace that he gives you. There's always these areas that we don't like to give up to him. You know, it might be our family, might be our jobs, might be our marriage, our finances, our control of the future, you know, whatever it might be. Now, even though we don't have control of the future, we can still retain it and say, Lord, I'm not going to trust you with my future. But once we start yielding to him and giving him control, that's when the peace begins to flow. So why don't you, you know, you talk about Advent being successful, being not successful. The best thing you can do right now, if you haven't done it, is to just give control over to Jesus, surrender to him. What a great Advent that would be. And then continue to do it, all right? We'll keep working on that. That's not the last time you're going to hear this from me. Anyway, I'm so glad you're able to join me on this very special Christmas Eve 2020. Okay, my beverage du jour. You ready for this? I'm going to take a sip of it. I went all out tonight because I thought this was perfect for tonight's show. I hope you got a beverage. Hope you got a snack. Hope you got some appetizers, whatever. It's Christmas Eve. Let's do it up, right? Here we go. Beverage du jour. That was really good. Since you're never going to guess, I'm just going to tell you what it is. It is peppermint tea, hot peppermint tea, perfect for Christmas Eve. So that's my beverage that I have for the show tonight. Again, I hope you're snacking, hope you're drinking your beverage, and I hope you're getting ready to celebrate tonight, to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a big deal that he came to earth, you know? It's a big deal. It's a sign of God's love for you. And that sign is really completed with his death on the cross. Whew, unbelievable. You know, there's a lot we don't understand about life. And at times, God makes it really difficult for us to appreciate how much he loves us. And that's why we need faith. Because when suffering and bad things happen to us, our human instincts kick in, you know, the way we think, and we automatically assume, how can this be good for me? How can he be a loving and all-powerful God? But if you submit in faith, and that's the deal, we need faith to believe, to look at something negative or painful in our life and somehow still conclude that he loves us. That can only be done through faith. And the more your faith increases, and that increases primarily by staying with him, by walking with him every day, by spending time in prayer and receiving grace through the sacraments and reading scripture, you do all these things, eventually your faith increases to the point where you can endure anything he sends your way and believe in your heart that it's good for you, you know? So I've seen it happen in my life. I know it can happen to you too. Just don't give up. Keep hanging in there. And again, we will work together to make sure that you get to where you need to be. I'm going to do my best and keep sending you to Jesus and let him do his thing in your life. Okay, let's talk Advent. I got to take another sip of my peppermint tea. Let's talk Advent because this is the last time I'm going to be able to talk to you about Advent this year. Early in the season of Advent, I read from a book called Meditations from Advent to Lent by Father Lowry Daly and Sister Mary Virgine Daly. I love the book. It was written in 1966. If you ever get a chance to pick it up, it's by Sheed and Ward Publishing. You can find old copies on eBay. It's out of print, but it's just a really good book. Sometimes you get old religious books, and they're a little dated, but this is good. I mean, obviously, these two individuals, they both work in Catholic education, but so much of what they say is just so spot on, just so pertinent to what all of us face. If you're feeling your Advent was not successful, I just want to share this. I just want to share this with you, this reflection on the last day of Advent. As I look back upon the weeks of this Advent, maybe it appears merely a series of rather poorly made resolutions, which do not seem to have brought about any serious reformation or any striking progress. Do you feel that way? A series of poorly made resolutions, which really didn't seem to change you or didn't seem to bear fruit. Okay, let me continue to read on. My same old faults are still plaguing me and those around me, despite what I thought was a sincere effort to follow him closer. If such be the case, at least I have material here for greater humility. And the more I understand myself, the less likely I shall be surprised. He has, meaning Jesus, Jesus has told me that without me you can do nothing, but it seems to take me almost a lifetime to learn that lesson. Be that as it may, I can certainly offer today through his mother my best efforts as well as my weakness and failures. I can make through her a sincere act of contrition, and drawing my thoughts from the great Psalm of Sorrow and Contrition, have mercy on me, Lord. O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. You know, so we learn from this Advent season, possibly, that we need work. We're not where we want to be spiritually. We want to get closer to Jesus. We still need him, because otherwise we're going to fall flat on our faces. That's not a bad lesson to learn. If you have that desire to grow closer to Jesus and realize that you're not where you're supposed to be, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, again, you tried, you showed up, you did your best, you listened to the show, we talked about it, you did something for Advent, you made an effort. I think at some point we should just let it go and give thanks that the Holy Spirit did work in us and believe that we accomplished something, even an increased desire to get better, to overcome our sins, to get to know Christ better. You know, that's a blessing. Because many, many, many people don't realize that in their lifetime. So if you have any realization there of your sinfulness, of your weakness, and how much you need Jesus, praise God for that. That's a good thing. All right, let me share something else with you. This is from a book called Goodness and Light, Readings for Advent and Christmas. It's one of the several books that I use as part of my meditation during the Advent season. This is a meditation. It's called Christmas Eve Vigil. I'm just going to read a couple excerpts by Kathleen Norris. And a couple of highlights that I, as I was reading this, I'm not going to read you the whole thing, that really resonated with me. She says this: what a mess we have made of God's greatest gift to us. And, you know, in a lot of ways, maybe not this Christmas, but maybe this Christmas, we make a mess of it. She states this, let me just read a little bit more and then I'll talk about it. We scurry for weeks baking, shopping, working extra hours, rehearsing and presenting Christmas pageants. Then on the eve of the nativity, we force our frantic, overstimulated children into their best, most uncomfortable clothes, and we all rush off to church where we collapse into a pew. If we're lucky, we think we can nod off listening to the lengthy recitation of Jesus' genealogy that opens the Gospel of Matthew. After that, it's playing Santa and confronting those maddening, some assembly required, directions until the wee hours. There's nothing wrong with sharing God's love by buying gifts for one another, by family traditions, by gathering together, by celebrating, by having a good time. But sometimes, and maybe you've seen this in your life, we could just lose Jesus in the whole mix. We don't want to do that. That's really wrong. I don't care how great our family traditions are. If we're not thinking about Christ and if he's not the center of it, then something's lacking. We got to fix that. So, yes, we have messed it up in so many ways. You know, you watch movies about Christmas, and while they might be, some of them might be wholesome, some of them are just, they make no mention of Christ. That's wrong. I mean, that's wrong. Yeah, we're supposed to be kind to one another, but we're supposed to do that out of love for Christ. And it's his birthday, if for nothing else. So I think it's important. This is the year that we have to really get him back into Christmas, you know? A lot of the externals they're removed this year. And it's sort of like a timeout, you know? We'll be back doing them again soon, God willing. But maybe this year is the year to just focus on, all right, Lord, you are enough for me. I do want to just spend Christmas with you, Jesus. You know, I really want to be with you. And then next year, I'll bring you with me to my parties, right? Let me get back to this reflection. She mentions that if we have neglected the spiritual call of Advent for yet another year and have allowed ourselves to become thoroughly frazzled by December 24th, all is not lost. We are, in fact, in very good shape for Christmas. It is precisely because we're weary and poor in spirit that God can touch us with hope. Tonight, we are asked to acknowledge that the world we have made is in darkness. And just as Israel needed God to lead them out of Egypt, so we need Christ to lead us out of our present slavery to sin. The genealogy of Jesus reveals that God chooses to work with us as we are, using our weaknesses, even more than our strengths, to fulfill the divine purpose. No matter how weak you are, no matter how much of a worrier you are, no matter how hopeless you view life, Jesus can use you. I want to give you that hope tonight, and I pray now that he fills you with that hope. And I want you to understand that if he could use 12 knuckleheaded, clueless fishermen and oddballs to build a church on, he can use you and me, you know. And if he can use me, especially, to work through, I guarantee he can use you. There is hope for whatever you're facing tonight. That hope is in the person of Christ, our Savior, who was born this night in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but who wants to come into your heart tonight. Come, Lord Jesus. Invite him in, all right? Let's read from the gospel. This is the gospel that's used at midnight mass, one of my favorite passages, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. That was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Wow. So tonight, I repeat to you the words of the angel. Do not be afraid. For behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. Your Savior is waiting to be invited into your life to take away your fear, to save you from your sins, and to fill you with his peace. And on behalf of my family, my wife Eileen, my daughters Mary and Elizabeth, I want to wish you a happy and blessed Christmas. And I so look forward to being back with you after Christmas. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your prayers. You are amazing. I love you. Merry Christmas. Let the peace of Christ fill your heart this day, because the Savior is born. God bless you. Merry Christmas.